Our study tonight is out of the first epistle of John, 1 John 2, verse 13c and verses 18 to 20, discerning immature believers and their needs. John wrote 1 John to counter heretical views, that's false views, so the epistle provides discernment and is thus filled with contrasts, light and darkness, chapter 1, 6 and 7, chapter 2, 8 to 11. Love of the world and love of God, 1 John 2, verses 15 to 17. Children of God and children of the devil, chapter 3, verses 4 through 10. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of Antichrist, chapter 4, verses 7 through 12 and 16 to 21. Review the epistle for much needed spiritual discernment in our era and study John's teaching on discerning immature believers and their needs in 1 John 2. Chapter 13c and 18 to 27 for our insight, our application, and edification. It's very valuable to be able to discern people who are immature, people who are maturing, and then people who are mature in the Christian faith, because it helps us better to minister to one another. Also helps us to understand where people are coming from. Let me just read the verses, verse 13c. And then I'll skip down to verse 18, and I'll explain why he's skipping around with the little children thing. In verse 13c, John wrote, I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. And then his next address to the little children is verse 18 through 27. Little children, verse 18, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, that's the Holy Spirit, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Messiah? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son, the same has not the Father. And then the last part of that verse in the King James Version is added by later manuscripts, but he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. That's actually not in the original. Verse 24, let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them who seduce you or deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him remains in you, and you do not need that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you all things and is truth and is no lie, even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Okay, I have to have a bit of an extended introduction here in order to clarify what John is doing. John's discussion on the various maturity levels is somewhat puzzling and needs to be explained as follows. In 1 John 2, 12 to 27, John addressed believers in their different levels of spiritual maturity, referring to spiritual babes as little children, to believers in the intermediate level of maturity as young men, and to mature believers as fathers. In 1 John 2:12 in the King James Version, it addresses little children, but the Greek term for that expression is technia, and that's anyone who's been born into God's family regardless of his maturity level. A better translation for technia is the old Scottish term bairn ones. That means born ones. A better understanding in English, technia is like our word offspring. Offspring could be someone who's in his 80s, could be someone who's just, you know, a newly born child. But that's what technia means. So every true believer of any maturity level appreciates the fact that his sins have been forgiven him for the sake of Christ's name. When a person puts his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he believes that Christ died on the cross for his sins, that he was buried, that he rose again. He's forgiven his sins, and he's been given eternal life. And that's what John's talking about. He's introducing himself to the entire group of Christians. These are people of all maturity levels. but their sins have been forgiven. And what a wonderful thing to have our sins forgiven, because our sins are forgiven, then of course we have access to heaven by God's unmerited favor. Well, after addressing all believers in 1 John 2:12 and verse 13, John initially addressed the three maturity levels. John repeated this triad starting in verse 14, but moved with comments on each group up to verse 27. And what we're going to do is rearrange John's material to start with little children, move next to young men, and then end with fathers in order to understand the steps we need to take to progress from one level of maturity to the next. John actually does it in reverse order. He talks to the fathers, then with the young men, and then the little children. I'm reversing that, and Dr. Mitchell might want to do that too. I don't know, in his book, Fellowship, the Three Letters from John, because there's a progression. It shows us where a little child spiritually is, and how that little child gets out of that level into the next level, the young man, and how the young man gets out of his level into the father's level. And so that's why we're reversing the order here. So tonight we're talking about the little children. These are spiritual babes in Christ. This is like brand new believers. And unfortunately, a Christian can know Christ for 30, 40 years and still be a spiritual baby, not grow. That's a tragic situation, but that does happen. So John's address to little children or spiritual babes is then given in 1 John chapter 2, verse 13c, in 18-27 in the King James Version. The Greek term for little children, 1 John 2, 13b and 18, that starts John's 1 John 2, 18-27 section on little children, is paideia, the word for little babies who are spiritually immature. You've probably heard of the term pediatrics. The doctor is a pediatrician. He deals with little kids. Paideia emphasizes either a child or a little baby. Could be either one. Little children or spiritual babies have experientially come to know. The Greek word is eknokate. And that means that's a perfect tense. They have actually come to know God the Father. In other words, they have seen God the Father work in their lives since their salvation. What happens is a new Christian recognizes that God is all of a sudden active in his life or her life, as the case may be, when they come to know the Lord as their Savior. They sense the presence of the Lord. They see the Lord acting. That says God the Father is actually involved in that way. It takes a while in maturity to get to know God the Son. That's interesting. However, the big threat to spiritual babes is the false teacher. See, a new babe, when he comes into a church, he thinks, oh, this is wonderful. These are all Christians. They're all godly people. Yeah, and he's just sold on it. He has no idea that sometimes Satan plants tares in amongst the wheat. He has no idea that sometimes teachers don't even know Christ as their Savior. And some teachers actually are apostates who deny Christ. And eventually they come out of the church and they're exposed as such. And it's always a shock when that happens to a new believer. And unfortunately, that's a reality. So, since even spiritual babes have heard of the coming Antichrist of the future tribulation period, that's after the rapture of the church, John added that even now there are many Antichrists, many false teachers like the Antichrist, for we live in the last days. Spiritual babies are stunned to witness what they once thought were godly teachers leave the church exposed as false teachers. But John wrote that such teachers were never true believers, and they leave the church that it might be manifested that they really did not belong to God's spiritual family. Now, such awareness can leave a spiritual baby feeling very insecure about being able to discern true from false teachers. I've actually talked with new believers this way and someone who they had relied upon being a teacher. Often this happens when they're listening to somebody on the radio or television, and all of a sudden this person goes way off the beaten track. They come and they get scared and they say, whoa, if that person wasn't even a Christian, how do I know I am? Or how do I know the pastor is? You know, and all of a sudden they get very, very insecure. And that's a reasonable reaction, and John anticipates this. So such awareness can leave the spiritual baby feeling insecure about being able to discern true from false teachers. So John stated that the Holy Spirit, that's God, who has spiritually anointed them at salvation, equips even little babies in Christ to discern between truth and error. Incidentally, this happened many years ago. Bob Toth is now with the Lord. But when he first came to know the Lord as his Savior, he came up and talked to me one day. He said, there was a minister I was listening to and I on the radio, and he started off really good, and I thought he was wonderful. But after a while, he started going into and saying some things that, boy, it seemed strange, and I felt so uncomfortable, I turned him off. And I said, who was that? He says, Herbert W. Armstrong. I said, oh, he's a cultist. Yeah, he doesn't even preach the gospel that we do. Oh, is that right? I said, Bob, that's evidence that the Holy Spirit is in you, because he gave you a warning sign. You didn't even know that what he was saying wasn't true, but you felt incredibly uneasy about it, so you turned him off. And that was encouragement to Bob. It was encouragement to me, see that the Holy Spirit was working in him to give him discernment. But every person who knows Christ as his Savior is actually indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, which is a wonderful thing, because the Holy Spirit acts to cause a believer to become very uncomfortable when something isn't right around him. He may not know all the reasons why, and he may need to get into the Word to find out exactly why, but that's something that the Holy Spirit does. It's a tremendous ministry. Since even spiritual babies in Christ know the truth by means of the indwelling Holy Spirit, John added that false teachers, antichrists and apostates, deny that Jesus is the Messiah and Son of God. And in doing so, they also deny both Christ and God the Father, whom spiritual babies have come to know. That's interesting. The acid test for whether or not a person is a Christian is whether they can confess that Jesus Christ is the Creator God come in the body. That's 1 Corinthians 12:3, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. Anytime someone comes up to me and they're wondering about if they're saved or not, I said, have you taken the incarnation test? And they wonder, well, incarnation, is that, you know, incarnation? I've heard of carnation milk, but what's this? I said, no, it's the incarnation test. 1 John 3, 1 John 4, 1 to 3, 1 Corinthians 12, 3. Can you say that you believe as your belief that Jesus Christ is the Creator God come in the body? And they say, yes, okay, say that as your belief. And so when they say that as their belief, I said, according to this passage, you could not say that as your belief unless you were a Christian. That's interesting. And so that's the test, and that helps people to feel comfortable. So John then directed little babies to remain committed to God's word in 1 Corinthians 12:3 and 1 John 4:1-3 that clarifies Jesus' identity as the Messiah and Son of God. Since spiritual babies themselves confess Jesus as the Messiah and Son of God, John assured them that God has promised them unconditional salvation security. This is where you can settle a new believer down. A new believer or a baby Christian can wonder, man, if that person wasn't Christian, how do I know I am? You know, well, you take the incarnation test. 1 John 4:1-3, 1 Corinthians 12:3, and if you pass it, you have eternal security, and God has promised to give you salvation. He's given you eternal life. So that's one thing. I always try to get a new believer to be sold on the fact that he's eternally secure by God's grace. Then John summarized his teaching to spiritual babies by noting that he was telling them about false teachers and that the Holy Spirit in them, by his means of his discernment, was the solution to false teachers. So that's the key. We need to rely upon the indwelling Holy Spirit that God has given us to discern the false teachers. So spiritual babies have experientially come to know God the Father, but they are vulnerable to being misled by false teachers who pose as godly teachers, but they're not even true Christians. Thus, spiritual babies must rely on the indwelling Holy Spirit's discernment to handle false teachers and examine all teachers and their own unconditional salvation security status by the test of the confession of Jesus as the Messiah and Son of God. So if we realize that we are spiritual babies, may we heed John's teaching on overcoming false teachers. In case you're wondering if I'm a Christian, I believe as my faith that Jesus Christ is the Creator God come in the body. So that's my belief. I say that. And according to Scripture, I couldn't be able to say that except by the Holy Spirit. But I don't mind letting people know where I stand on that. I'd let you know every week, unless it might bore you, but that's something for people to be sure about. And it's something for yourself to be sure about. If you're doubting your salvation, just take that incarnation test and state it. With one Christian, I actually had them take the test. They took it, and then I said, okay, write in the fly leaf of your Bible, I passed the incarnation test in the presence of Pastor Don Shell, and sign it and date it. So the next time you doubt it, this is a person who constantly doubted their salvation, go back and look at the fly leaf of the Bible. You got your testimony and my witness. And the Bible says, let every fact be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. You got two witnesses there. So that's an encouragement so we can rest assured that we know the Lord.